And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Don Sutherland on the line. G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Annie, and g'day to you and all your listeners.
Yeah. Now, Don, you're the man who's got his eye on what's been happening, and you're particularly interested in the annual wage review. But, of course, behind the annual wage review is all this mucking around at the Reserve Bank and this mini budget that we've just had. Can you give us some idea of how you see it interacting?
Yes, well, I think what this budget does is emphasise how the government's management of the economy, especially through the budget, but in other ways, interacts with the other really important institutions that are also involved in management of the economy, keeping in mind that it's a capitalist economy and it's a profit system economy. That's because it is a capitalist system. So, and those other institutions are, of course, the Fair Work Commission itself and, of course, the Reserve Bank. And there are others, but they're the three major ones that this budget brings into focus. That is the interaction between what government does through its budget, the what happens to wages through wage fixing, both enterprise bargaining, multi-enterprise bargaining, and the annual wage review. And then thirdly, how the Reserve Bank is actually dictating both of those things. You're quite correct to say that this is actually a mini budget, or I would call it a review budget. And it's necessary because from the point of view of the employing class, they needed a new government that would bring a much higher degree of management competence to the management of the economy. And I think probably from their point of view, there is a lot more coherence and competence from their point of view in this budget.
It's funny that you should say that, because I have listened to a variety of different people who have been going through the mini budget, and one of the people actually said, now that the adults are back in charge.
Yes. Well, that's a, you know, maybe a populist way of putting it. Now, that is not to say that just because they are more competent that we are getting a different mode, a better mode of economic management from the point of view of the majority. And I think this, what this first budget is actually assert that the Albanese government will be managing the economy according to neoliberal principles, but with some Labourist characteristics. And that's why, and I'll, you know, maybe I shall patent this, but I'm calling it neoliberalism, because it retains most of the features of the neoliberal form of managing capitalist societies. However, it does emphasise some aspects that can be traced through the history of light-on-the-hill type labourism.
Well, it's actually a very clever alliteration, really, because that's exactly how they seem to see themselves. Because, I, as I said, I've listened to a variety of different sort of analysis of the budget, and a particular one that was a collection of Labour progressive, call them think tanks, right? And one of the mantras that is constantly being talked about is at the most vulnerable in the community, taking into account the most vulnerable in the community, you know what I mean? So it's like neoliberalism with a horse blanket called the most vulnerable in the community.
And I think the weasel words in that are taking into account. In other words, they're not in the forefront of concerns,
yeah,
but they're sort of like the postscript to the main game. which is to maintain and protect profit-taking at a level that is necessary for a healthier capitalism than what we have.
And not to demean, and not to demean them, but it's also underlining is using intelligence to get positive outcomes without requiring money.
Well, not quite. We'll come back to another way, that in another way, with some other weasel words that are coming out of neoliberalism as now being practiced by the Albanese government. The best evidence, the starting point for understanding that neoliberalism is alive and well, albeit in a modified form, comes from Albanese's own mouth. Just a few days before the budget, when he was discussing it on Western Australian radio, he said, it's important that fiscal policy, that is essentially the budget, it is important that fiscal policy, the budget policy, work with the context, within the context of tightening of monetary policy by central banks. We must work with it rather than against it.
Yep.
That's what he said. Now, that means, that is an admission that the Reserve Bank, an unelected board, dictates to, and this is acceptable to the government, dictates to an elected government how it should manage the economy.
Well, you know, that's the orthodoxy, though. That's the orthodoxy that's been come to believe to be the air we breathe. It's like a given.
That is the neoliberal
success
orthodoxy for sure. That's it. And Labor, led by Albanese, is accepting that. And I say that with one proviso. It is the parliamentary Labor Party that has locked itself into a slightly modified neoliberal approach to management. The unknown question is how much members of the Labor Party are willing to accept that and for how long. And the signs are not good. The signs are that the membership of the Labor Party itself is willing to be comfortable with rather than critical of neoliberalism. What I call neoliberalism, now painted it. Now, that means that, for example, and there are many, that new levels of poverty, rising poverty, are not a priority. It's something, as you said, it's something that is a little bit like an afterthought. It's not a priority. And the new levels of poverty were confirmed in the week before the budget by the latest research produced in a joint project between ACOS, the Australian Council of Social Services, and the University of New South Wales Social Research Network Unit. So there it is. That's not the priority. Chalmers, the Treasurer, himself said inflation is the great influencer. Well, what flows from that in the budget are the forecasts about wages. The forecasts, which are prepared by Treasury, right, they do all the gut work of the budget, if you like. The forecasts have wages marginally getting above inflation on average at the earliest in 18 months or so. Now, that is the forecast. That is the intent, if you like, the preference of the government. Now, that means that the government is accepting the mantra that wage increases drive inflation. demonstrably,
right.
There's no evidence for
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I mean, why are prophets so sacrosanct and everybody else's lives are allowed to go down the drain? What is this?
We live in a prophet system. We live in a prophet system, and if we continue to live in a prophet system, the role of government, there are lots and lots of problems and contradictions in a profit system. Not all employers make the same level of profit or the same rate of profit. And they have to be rescued from time to time. Now, the role of government is to help that, to intervene against the pure operation of the market. There's never been such a thing, actually. But the role of government is to govern in such a way that all of those problems and contradictions get sorted out.
Yeah,
the employing class, you have a massive, contradiction that so many of them are desperate to only pretend that climate change is happening and do as little as possible about it. But there's another big part of the employing class who do acknowledge that it's real and want and see great opportunity for future profit taking in it. Now, having a Labor government that supports that, and that's neo-liberalism, supports that, is very important. And that's where the question of competence comes in from the employer's point of view.
Yeah. I'll just remind listeners that we're talking to Don Sutherland, and we're looking at the interaction of budget and other mechanisms within our society as to our future economic situation. It's funny you should say this. Two things occur to me. One of them on this particular subject is that, you know how there was a news report about rorts in Medicare, and it's all down to greedy doctors, blah, 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 and whatever. But it struck me as a really interesting publicity campaign, because if you look at rorts, then you don't look at the outsourcing and privatisation of our healthcare system and huge amounts of money that are systemically going into private hands, which is extremely important sort of issue when it comes to governments and how government services and how that feeds into people's well-being, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many things that are being, and it's the same thing about this message about inflation, that it's apparently workers who want proper payment within the profit system for their work, and how unreasonable it is. But of course, that's a load of bunkum.
There's a sense in which it's true, and that is if there is an across the board increase in wages, that in the first instance is going to create downward pressure on profits. That's what it eats into profits. Now, so that is true. Now, the question is, how does the management of the system deal with that? Well, the employers will demand that the government that oversees and manages the system, that is, deals with its contradictions, in some way put a halt to it, slow it down, or restrict it to just, say, 10% of the working class, so that the increases only flow to, the significant increases above the rate of inflation deliberately only flow to a minority of the working class, thus enhancing wages competition, worker versus worker. That becomes a key factor, and that is a big feature of enterprise bargaining in the broken rules of the Fair Work Act, which is not going to be changed significantly. There will be fine-tuning of it. And that's really, when we talk about the IR changes that are in front of us, that's really what's going on. I may be wrong about that, but that's my reading of it so far. One of the things that Chalmers said that is true is that there is the likelihood, increasing every day, of a global recession. And so it is true that any government has a choice to make. Will it govern to prevent or reduce the impact of a recession in preference to the majority of the population, or will it do so for the minority? And at the present time, what this first mini-budget, as you called it, or review budget, which is the language I'm using, what it is indicating is that the first priority for the new government is to deal with the influence of recession in other parts of the world in favour of the ruling class. And in that sense, it's not much different than what an LNP government would do.
There was some discussion about the idea of the annual wage review actually having some influence on the low rates of pay and the increase in cost of living. Is there legs there?
Yes, well, the annual wage review starts, with the announcement of the schedule for the review. It starts in about a month's time, thereabouts, give or take a week or two. Now, how things unfold, especially in the new year, leading up to the first substantive regular budget...
isn't it?
The first question is how fair dinkum the union movement will be in leading a big wage increase push, or will it succumb to a variation of wage increases might cause inflation and be problematic? Will they succumb?
Well, that's interesting you should say that. Well, they're running a campaign, and they've been running a campaign, and they've had Zoom meetings around it, around the notion that workers are not to blame for inflation, and they have been arming their delegates with information around this.
Yes. Now, the flow on of that, the logic of that, is that the annual wage review should start with an ACTU claim on behalf of all workers, whether they're members or unions or not, and that's very important that it's like that, that is above the cost of living projections. And it should seek to include a catch-up element for that which has been lost. Hmm. Now, whether or not it does, we will know. We will know soon. Now, the second question is, will the government, as it did when it was in opposition just before the election with the most recent annual wage review, will it advocate for an increase that matches the increases in the cost of living? Now, that's what it did beforehand, before in the context of the election. Will it do so as a government? And all the indicators from this budget is that it will not.
Mm.
It will not continue in government with the same willingness to support low-income workers in the annual wage review that it did beforehand. Now, all of this, what this amounts to, is a really big question. How should unions and unemployed organisations, pensioner activist groups and anti-poverty organisations respond to this neoliberal management of the system? The first thing to do is they've got to work out what the hell is actually going on and work it out together rather than separately.
Yep.
Of course, there must be, each one of those organisations will do their lobbying and maybe other campaigning in their own right, through their own channels and so on. But will that be enough? Is there a case for them working out an alternative economic management proposal? years ago called a People's Economic Program or an Alternative Economic Program or something of that nature, and not just pursue the elements of that individually, but also collectively.
Yeah, well, it does.
There are no, once again, in the Australian context, there is no sign of that, and there is no single organisation that wants to bring it together and develop a campaign that reflects the needs of the working class generally. There's no sign of that in Australia at the moment, although it's a big deal in many other parts of the world.
Oh, well, look what's happening. Look what's happening in England.
It's emerging in England. After we were, they were basically where we were a year or so ago, and that is shifting. And they haven't got on top of it entirely.
No.
But they're getting there.
They're making progress.
It
leads you to think system change, not, you know, like then. I mean, we've got hardly any time to go, but I listened to this whole webinar around the environment, and it was Ross Garno, and he's just put out a book. And the whole conversation, and Tim Flannery, and I mean, you know, I'm not having a go at them. It's just the whole context of that discussion about the environment was all about the economy. And I know that Ross Garno is an economist, but it was endlessly the economy, the economy, the economy. And I'm thinking, you know, actually it's the environment, stupid. You know, it's like it's the community, stupid.
Well, the economy doesn't actually include the environment. Every commodity...
No, but it should be the other way around. The environment includes the economy.
Well, the point I'm making is that every single commodity that we depend on day to day, including cash in hand, originates from nature.
Yeah.
That's its source.
Yeah.
Everything. The clothes you wear, the food you eat, the water you drink, if you're holding paper cash in your hand, the ingredients of all of that originate in nature. And so when they talk about it, now someone like Garno, and I wish I had listened to that actually, I missed it, but someone like Garno, who I haven't read his new book, but the one before that I have. Now Garno is a particularly important
influencer.
Intellectual.
He's an influencer.
Who writes, and very influential, who writes really well to help governments better modernise the management of the capitalist system.
Yeah.
He is all about its perpetuation, the perpetuation of the rate of exploitation.
That's right. That was giving me the shits, I'll have to say.
The rate of profit. That's what it's all about. And so when he talks, as he does, really articulately about the severity of the problem of climate change, and he has done for, 15 or 20 years, he is talking about how it needs to be dealt with so that the system perpetuates its exploitation of people.
Anyway, I've taken you off the task, and we've only got 2 minutes to go. So we have to pick this up in a short time and finish this discussion. Maybe we'll talk later when the a bit more about this whole interaction of the different areas, because the central bank hasn't always had a very glorious history, even though it's the one that's supposed to have its hand on the tiller. But anyway.
They are a bunch of rogues, unelected, but they are dictating how an elected government should manage the system.
Yeah.
And it is what their prescription is entirely servant to the interaction between the big producing multinational corporations and the finance corporations. Mm. Those two, they're not separate things. Those big, most powerful elements of modern capitalism, they interact with each other. And the Reserve Bank's loyalty is to the enhancement on their profit-taking and power in societies.